Praise be to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. This morning I would like to start at the end of our gospel passage, starting with verse 43. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. This is God's word. I'd like to start by asking you what it is in your life that is worth protecting. What is it that's so valuable that you would fight for it, that you would protect it, that you would go to the ends of the earth to keep? For the Jews, it was the kingdom of God. And Jesus declared that the kingdom of God would be taken away from them. And their anger was a reflection of what they thought he meant. You see, in their minds, they knew what the kingdom of God was. And there's no way that this guy who claimed to be God would take it from them. They were the leaders of the kingdom of Israel, a nation who had been chosen by God Himself. They had been led out of slavery by God. They had been brought into the promised land by God. They were a kingdom that had a history. And that history included David, the greatest king of all time. You see, their kingdom had been great, but right now it sat fractured. And it sat under the oppression of Rome. But you see, they were still the kingdom of God. They were still God's people, and He would never turn His back on them permanently. He would always rescue and return their kingdom to its rightful place of honor and glory. They were just waiting for that moment. Waiting for the moment when God's kingdom would descend from heaven, and the line with Israel's kingdom. And together, they would destroy Rome. They would destroy anything else that stood in their way. You see, in their mind, the kingdom of God was mighty, and it was powerful, and it would fulfill their desires. So it's no wonder that they felt threatened when Jesus said that it would be removed from them. They'd kill to protect it. Actually, they did kill to protect it. They hung him on a cross because he threatened the very vision that they clung to with such passion. They were wrong. They were blind. You see, they were waiting for the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God had already arrived. And it was staring them in the face. They were seeking a kingdom of what instead of a kingdom of who. And so God took it all away. He revoked it from them and He handed it to other people. But here's the question. What exactly is the kingdom of God, and who now receives it? See, in the mind of the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is a noun. It is something to obtain. And how often do we do the same thing? We see the kingdom of God as a noun, as something that we must obtain. And we extend that then to other areas of our lives. We extend that to other things in our life. We shift our focus from God to ourselves, and then we strive to stay in control, to stay in possession of all that we want and all that we believe we deserve. But Jesus, He turned that upside down. And He proclaimed that the kingdom of God is not a noun. It's a verb. It's an action. And it's an action that is done for the glory of God, not the glory of man. And that's the difference. When we do something for the glory of man, we make the kingdom of God a noun. But when we do it for the glory of God, it becomes that verb. It becomes doing. You see, the kingdom of God is a recognition that sin entered this world through the disobedience of Adam and Eve. That we have kept it alive and healthy and strong. And it's that inner conflict that we go through each day. We don't do what we should, but we do what we should. And it's the crushing feeling of guilt that we carry with us in our lives. And it's the realization that the physical suffering of Jesus and the spiritual torment that He experienced on the cross was done because of us. Because of our rejection of Him. Not because of anything He deserves. See, that's our contribution to the kingdom of God. That's our part of the verb. But the kingdom of God is also restoration. It's the entrance of Jesus on this earth. It's fully man. And fully God. And it's the life that He lived in perfect obedience to the Father. And it's the journey that He made to the cross to reconcile us to God. You see, it's about the salvation that He earned and handed to us. That is His contribution to the kingdom of God. That is His part of the verb. You see, the kingdom of God is not a place. It's God working through Jesus. That's the kingdom. The forgiveness of sins that we receive when we eat and drink the body and blood of our King. It's the renewal and the strengthening of faith that we experience when we hear God's Word. And it's a freedom from death and damnation that we can only experience because the kingdom of God is a verb. But the verb doesn't stop there. It's also a call to respond to this new life in Christ. See, Jesus invites us to be His part with Him. God reigns through Christ, and He calls us to reign with Him because we live in Him and He lives in us. But make no mistake, this reign doesn't look like anything the world would describe. See, the kingdom of God is a service of, it's a verb of service and humility. It's a verb of putting God before all others, before ourselves. It's like being kind to the poor. It's giving rather than receiving. It's looking to the interests of others. It's letting your light shine. But in all times, it's doing all for God's glory and not our own. And so this morning I challenge you again to be God's verb in this church. To find a ministry to serve in. There are plenty of them. You see many of them right now this morning. And there are many, many more that happen behind the scenes that we never see. There are plenty of opportunities to use your talent to be God's verb. And be God's verb in your home and in your neighborhood. And bring love and selflessness and humility to everyone you meet. But in all things and in all ways, be His kingdom and be His word. Please pray with me. Lord, help us be the kingdom of God to the world around us. Make us Your servants and send us to serve in our homes, in our church, and in our community. Keep us selfless in our serving so that in all ways our actions point to Your glory and not ours. In Your name we pray. Amen.